What the heck is going on, you guys, and welcome back to the Maker Made podcast. We're rocking on episode 32, or I'm Tyler, joined by my good buddy Doggy.
That's me.
And we're going to jump right into it. I think I speak for both of us when I say that we're a little bit under the weather at the moment. I've been battling some wicked allergies, and I think it rolled right into a cold or something that's been going on, and a sinus infection and all that good fun stuff.
Ty got sick, little westerly wind blew it over to Tennessee. I got sick. The gang gets a cold. How's your week been?
Good, good. Very good. Very eventful. Past handful of days for sure.
Is that like the heads up for the listeners that every once in a while they're going to hear a...
I think you already have like four episode. Of those, so yeah. Definitely the case.
Not even sniffling anything, but I got a sniffle. but yeah, how's the week been?
Crazy. So we got back from Sunday night, I guess, from a very long, eventful weekend. On Friday of last week, we left and went out to Vegas, drove down there, about a 4-hour drive, had some fun on Friday night. And then Saturday, we kind of did a lot of exploring, and we saw Imagine Dragons in Macklemore at Allegiant Radio Stadium on Saturday night. Yep, those are them. We heard that song, which is pretty cool. I'm a big fan of both of those bands, so it was cool to see them live in action. I've seen Macklemore before, but Imagine Dragons, that was a first for me. So definitely a really good time. And then we drove home. We left our hotel room on Sunday at about 5:30 in the morning to get home. We showered and then immediately turned around and went to the Cardinals game against the Chiefs here in Phoenix.
Yeah, buddy.
So that was a very quick turnaround. We had incredible seats. We sat first row, literally very first row on the goal line, which was gnarly. Unfortunately, the game was very not favorable. We got destroyed and we actually left early, but that's neither here nor there. It was still a fantastic weekend, but any Hoosiers, happy to be back here. And hopefully can shake this bug very soon because I'm getting tired of not doing much.
You know what's crazy?
Hmm.
Browns got a better record than the Cardinals. How does that feel? Undefeated, baby. Undefeated.
And we've never won a game, dude. It's terrible.
That's crazy. Nice. I was following some of your stories on Instagram and Snapchat. It did look pretty fun. It looked like you guys had a pretty awesome time, some good food. Some good experiences and then
totally
the game. And even those games, even when you lose, it's still fun to be there and be in the, in the atmosphere.
Totally. And I love going to sporting events, obviously. We got those tickets for free, which was really convenient. So that was really nice. If we paid for those tickets, I'd be pretty bummed out. Not going to lie to you.
Yep.
But we got them for free, so it was no big deal. We got blown out, met some cool people. We did some tailgating, met up with some friends. I actually ran into a crazy amount of people that I knew at the game, which was always fun. And that was kind of that, and now it's back to reality, so to speak. And I love going to sporting events. It's obviously ideal when your home team wins, but can't win them all.
Yeah, ain't that the truth.
Mm-hmm. So what about you, sir? How was your past week?
It was long. It's a long weekend. Left my house on Thursday with the truck all loaded up for the craft fair. Went to my cousin's, dog sat there, but I had some table legs for a coffee table delivered to the house on Thursday night. And, so on Friday I went over to, Charlie's house, dropped off my inventory cause we did the craft fair together. So mm-hmm. We carpooled, went back to my house with the truck, brought the coffee table legs in, got in my car, went back to my cousin's. But on Saturday, got up early, 5:30, I had breakfast made in the refrigerator already. Some breakfast burritos pre-wrapped from the night before, made some coffee, took the dogs out, all their medicine, all that stuff. And then went to the craft fair. Oh my gosh. It was spitting rain in the beginning, just a light sprinkle, like the mist setting on the hose, when we were setting up. And then rain did not stop falling from the sky in one form or another until 2:30, 3 p.m.
Jeez.
And there were times, and I don't know if you saw my Instagram stories, it was coming down hard. And the tent was leaking. Everything was sucky. Your template boards I stuck in the tent to prevent the water from pooling. But I mean, we still made sales. We broke even actually on Saturday with the items we sold. Both of us did, because it was nice. $250 for the tent for the weekend. Sunday was a beautiful day. Like, I got a farmer's tan. I don't know if I can't see it. Oh, I got a little farmer's tan. Which way is the beach? That way? Or
that was the noise of doggy flexing for those of you who aren't watching the video that we don't record anyway.
Yeah. So Sunday was beautiful weather. Ton of people came out. We also got a new spot because a lot of people didn't show up. We were like in the mud facing a building in a corner. But we got moved to a main pathway.
Wait, so hang on. Let's start. So we're there Saturday. You get there. It's actively raining as mm-hmm. you're setting up, mm-hmm. right? And then are people coming in still? Are people still showing out? I mean,
yeah,
or is it just seeking refuge under your tents and hoping that they stay dry?
So people came out on Saturday.
Okay.
But again, we were in a really bad spot and we were the only woodworkers there out of like hundreds of booths, which to me is pretty incredible.
Right.
There's always people with like woodworking items. And but the people that came out on Saturday, they were buying. Like, they were determined to find something and buy. So Sunday, nice. Tons of crowds, better location, and I sold $10 more of items. Like I think it was $340 on Saturday, $350 on Sunday. Interesting. So the actual completion of sales, like closing on them, was way lower of a percent than it was the day before. And I would say for the most part, that was true for Charlie. Again, his bottle openers, man, those things kill it. The refrigerator mounted ones.
Yeah.
So he the last hour and a half, I think I sold like three of his bottle openers for him. Cause he was like checking out another client. And I've got like the spiel, one-handed operation, magnet catches it. The record's 36. Like, I got the whole spiel down and people are like, oh, I want those. But I mean, it was basically the first day was like a 13-hour day. Second day ended up being like 10 or 11, maybe mm-hmm. 12. Long days, man. Long days of sitting out.
Totally. So day one is when you, in the torrential downpour occurred and you realize that you guys are standing in a puddle after everything was all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
And the event people were totally fine with you swapping booths into somewhere better.
On the concrete and like the asphalt driveway parking lot right in the middle drag. So we kind of, Charlie went over and made our case, like, nobody can see us over here.
Right.
And that night, so when we were closing up shop for the night, some people leave their stuff overnight at the craft fair. Neither of us are comfortable doing that. So we were packing
like people,
up the truck.
Like people like, or, oh, I'm sorry. So people like leave their tents there.
So we leave the tent there and like the tables, but people will leave their inventory like fully set up overnight. They have security, but they're not liable for lost or stolen items. So I was like, well, whatever. So we pack everything into the truck and we moved our tent over, moved the stand, moved the tables. And then obviously inventory in the truck and then went home. But it was, it was interesting. That again, it was really weird that the day with the better location and better weather and more people, it didn't really go as well, or it went just as well, not infinitely better like I was expecting.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of that has to do with, again, just the items and price point. And since this weekend's a 2-day craft fair, and I think I brought $6,100 worth of inventory. If they were all to sell, if everything I brought was to sell, it'd be $6,100 revenue. And I'm at the point, and I've been carrying around this inventory for anywhere between 6 months to a year and a half. I'm going to just hack the prices like in half. Walnut right. charcuterie board with the Westfall Wood Co. swooped handle, like $30. Like, just take this.
You trying to sell these boards don't sell, dude? This is not a good advertisement for you, for me.
No, I mean, I think I had them at $40 or $50, which I think is really fair. And Just, you know, didn't move them. And the flags, I sold a couple small ones, one big one.
Nice.
Again, I think the price point's tough. So again, I'm going to slash prices pretty significantly. I just try to get some
things gone.
Yeah. But because I want to buy a new sander, I'm sending my Festool in to get worked on. And it just gets really hot when I'm sanding, and I'm still under warranty for another year, but I can't have no sander. That's my only sander. So I'm looking at the Mercaderos, but I need to do some research on it. Heard some very mediocre things about the Rotex.
Yeah.
The Bosch had really good reviews, just not as good of a warranty. And same thing with the Makita. But I'm leaning towards the Merca. If the craft fair goes well this weekend, then I'll do the Mercaderos because it's like a $600 sander.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice sander. It's one I got. Had some issues with it when I first got it, but they got it fixed up and haven't had any problems since. Been using it. It's been a workhorse for me.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. Got a lot going on in the shop this week, though, because, you know, that massive chaos-ish hectic cutting board I made?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that one sold, and it sold on Saturday for $300, which I was blown away. But the lady,
are you
was,
sure you want to pay this much, lady?
It's like, you know what? I'll cut you a deal. We'll go $200. But she was like, I love that. She goes, how much is it? And I was like, $300. And Charlie had an end grain board with juice screws for sale. And she goes, oh, how much is that? And he was like, $220. And I'm like, shoot, I just lost the sale. And she looks at it and she points at mine. I turned around and put my cutting board back on display because I was like, I'm not making this sale. And she goes, I want that one. And I was like, oh, this one? You want this? Are you sure? So that was exciting, and that's why I'm making two more for this weekend, because I think that when people see that, it's not, if I don't buy it here, I can get it somewhere else. Like, that is unique
totally.
And not repeatable, and that's what I think I need to, that's why I don't think some of my template shapes are selling, because the wood I use is just plain. It's not a template thing, it's just the wood I've used.
That redwood stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll mark those at $20 and move a bunch of them if I can.
Totally.
Also, being in Tennessee, a lot of people pick up those Beer Flight boards, the long redwood ones that I have, and they look at their kids and they're like, I could whip you with this thing. Everybody thinks they're whipping boards. And I told one of the dads was talking to me. I said, hey, man, they are charcuterie boards. That's what I sell them as. That's what I market them as. Whatever you do with them once you buy it, I am not liable for. They are charcuterie boards. And that usually gets a good kick, but, you know, never makes the sale. So
that's classic.
Yeah.
I will say that redwood is not necessarily my favorite species of wood. I know you got it for a disgusting discount. So obviously that makes it very easy to cut the price a bit, but
I paid my favorite price for that.
$399.
$399, baby. Yeah, that was a good deal. One of my favorite deals. In the words of the former President Trump, that was one of the greatest deals in the history of deals. But
couldn't have said it better myself. So that's good. So, I mean, let's get some concluding thoughts. What do you, how do you feel about the weekend wrapped up? Did you learn a lot? Did you meet some new people, pass out some cards, or what?
Yeah. So, this is the second experience at a craft fair. First one, literally everyone that walked into the tent, I stood up and said, hey, how are you doing today? Like, you know, asking questions, engaging them right away. And that's a turnoff for a lot of people. So one thing I learned was sit in your chair. If they kind of hang out and they walk in and they're looking like they're interested, then you kind of engage them. And when I say I learned this is a lot of Charlie telling me kind of what, because he has a lot more experience at like markets and fairs and stuff. And,
right.
It really is just you got to be a salesperson, a salesman, but you also need to let them kind of dictate how they're feeling, like kind of feel out their energy, engage them at their level, maybe crack a joke if there's a good time for it. But I learned a lot more how to just,
hey, are you looking for somebody to be your kids happen. With? I'm your guy.
Yeah. There are some people at the fair. I'm like, I could probably say that and I might sell this. a lot of people dragging their kids around, man.
Yeah.
Concluding thoughts. Concluding thoughts. I'll take it. it's side hustle. This is all supplemental income. And it was just shy of $700 minus $125. So $575 for almost 20 hours of sitting there plus prep work and all that. So if you break it down like that, it doesn't look good. But $500 for a weekend is, you know, it's all supplemental income. So I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only using numbers because I think that's way easier to visualize or to conceptualize with listeners. Definitely not putting food on the table or paying the mortgage with that. But that's never really been my goal with this woodworking thus far. So concluding thoughts, really fun, worth it. Made a lot of cool connections. Talked to a lot of people. Exhausting. Ready to do it again next weekend.
Well, that's good, dude. I think overall it sounds like it was a decent win.
Uh-huh.
And then your next one is this upcoming weekend, right?
Saturday and Sunday, back to back.
Is it the same place or is it a different joint?
Germantown. I think it's Collierville Balloon Fest. So, similar area, more money in the city that we're going to. Hopefully that paired with cheaper prices. Again, just trying to move stuff. But this one only has 35 booths and we're the only woodworkers. So,
nice.
Hopefully that has some assistance, some help.
Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see. So if you're coming in with like the basic charcuterie boards at around like, what'd you say, about $30 most likely?
Well, it was like 50 for the walnut ones.
Mm-hmm.
And 40 for the other, like the swooped handle walnut is 50. Swooped handle cherry was 40. I'm probably going to put it all at like 30 and 40.
So, I mean, I guess you kind of... I look at things differently, of course, because I only do custom one-off stuff. But if I was, I mean, I know how fast and efficiently I can batch out huge quantities of these boards. So I know that there's money to be made still in terms of the amount of labor you put into it when you're mm-hmm. selling them for like 30, 40, 50 bucks. You know, I also get a lot of upcharges for like personalized boards and epoxy fills and things like that. But I still think, I mean, whether it's supplemental income or your full-time income, no matter what, I think at $30, $40, there's still money to be made is kind of what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there definitely is. It's not like I'm losing money on any of that
right.
at those prices. The downside is I don't think that that's necessarily fair long-term in the market because it undercuts other woodworkers everywhere. Mm-hmm. If you sell a walnut charcuterie board for 30 bucks. That being said, I've been sitting on this inventory for so long that clearly it's not going to sell at those prices. So, again, chop the price and you know, try again. Because I just need to move it at this point. I'm tired of lugging it around.
All right. I'm definitely excited. We definitely need to talk about that, of course, next week because I'm very curious to see how it ends up panning out for you. I think it'll be good. I got a good feeling for you. But Charlie did pretty well as well.
Dude, he first day we were pretty much neck and neck. We don't really keep like score, but we were joking around with each other throughout the beginning. Second day, I'm not kidding. The last 2 hours, he smoked it with those with the bottle openers. They're just a killer item at the market because people love getting them as gifts for people. And
what does he sell those at? Do you know? Do you remember?
$50 flat.
Whoa, really?
And
we're talking just like a rectangle piece with the bottle opener stabbed on it?
Yep. So there's the two magnets that hold it to the fridge. He puts a little rubber pad on the back so it doesn't slide or scrape on the fridge. The magnets are strong enough where you could open your beer on the fridge without the magnet coming off. And there's another magnet countersunk in the back to catch the actual bottle caps, the metal bottle caps. And so he finishes them with General Finishes Armor Seal Gloss. Dude, they are clean. Like, they look so clean, and none of them are the same. All different patterns. They all look different. And they're just,
and he glues them up like cutting boards, right? With like different strips of wood. Got it.
Yeah. And he's probably got 30 or 35, 40 that he brings to the fair, puts out 10. That was our sales technique. He put out 10 and then he'd say, oh, you know, if you don't like one that you see, I have 15 to 20 underneath. And he would put like 20 of them out all over. And the one lady was like talking to her husband. She was like, well, you made him pull all of them out, so you got to get one. And so after that, every single time he pulled that card out, he was making sales.
That's great.
But yeah, the last 2 hours, he smoked it. And they're nice because you can carry them really easily. They're small, they're compact. So, yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I can reach out to Charlie and ask him, but definitely, I mean, I guess it's kind of, I was just kind of curious about the traffic in the booth, you know, about like, were people buying things and so on and so forth. But it sounds like you did pretty dang good then selling those bottle openers. That's something that I want to make this holiday season. I'm going to, you know, kind of try to get some personalized ones going out.
See, get them out now, man.
Yeah. Well, seeing I'm already getting my, it's definitely the season. I mean, I think we mentioned it last week on the show. I've already had two of my typical bulk charcuterie board clients reach out. I got one that needs 30 and one that needs 25. So we're going to be in season, you know, and that's going to end up dominating my schedule. So I told her, I was like, hey, let's get this rolling right now. Like, I want to get these to you ASAP, because if you try to get them in a month from now, 45 days from now, it's going to be very tough. And I'm not working on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day like I did last year. That's something that I most certainly am going to avoid this year. I remember waking up at like 4 a.m. on Christmas Eve last year, and it just totally zapped the Christmas spirit out of me, to be completely honest with you. I just was not in the mood for anything. It did. I mean, 100%. It's not, I mean, I think you know as well as I do, as we're getting older, you're moved away from your family and stuff. You got to kind of cling to that stuff that makes you feel connected, you know?
Yeah. Did you, you were probably up early enough. You might have caught Santa.
You know, I was really concerned about that. What if he was coming out of my chimney, dude? Don't even have a chimney.
No sense in that. I just have the electric fireplace on the thing. I don't know how he's going to come out of that thing.
It's a new house, dude. What if he doesn't have your updated address?
I remember those days. My brother's a weekly listener, but he doesn't know it. I don't think he knows it. But he ruined Santa for me. So one Christmas, I got an Xbox, the original Xbox.
Classic.
But my brother got me the little Xbox faceplate, like the color faceplate. But I opened the faceplate first. And I was like, Scott, how did you know? And I like, huh? And then like it hit me. And I was like, oh my gosh, my whole life is a lie.
Oh, dude, that's terrible.
But, and then I that was the Christmas where I was like, oh, Mom, Dad, thank you so much. And they're like, for what? And I was like, come on.
You want to know how Santa was ruined for me?
Yeah.
And if you're a child listening, by the way, you should probably turn this off. Yes. If parents, if other makers, if you're in the car with your kids, you might want to turn this off. We should have given a little warning.
We'll put something in the show notes.
Disclaimer. No, but it was, I was like, I don't know, probably 6 or 7. I feel like that's a good age. Or no, I was probably like 5 or 6, which is probably an age that you should still believe in Santa, I feel like.
Yeah.
And kind of have that excitement in you. But I got a drum set this Christmas, you know? Yeah. And great gift. My parents immediately regretted that. But so, you know, we're doing Christmas morning, whole 9 yards. And then we get to like the afternoon, the family comes over and we're having dinner or lunch or whatever. And my dad asked me to go grab an extra gallon of milk or something out of the garage fridge. I go out there and first thing I see when I look down is the drum set manual, like how to assemble it. And I was like, I was like, there's no way Santa needs a manual to set this thing up.
He freaking makes them with his elves. Yeah.
and I walked up to him and I was like, Dad, what's going on here? Like, what is this? And his face, I'll never forget, like, his reaction. He was like, like Santa must have dropped it on his way out. And I was like, Dad, Santa would not need this thing. He would not need this
Santa
thing.
Santa wouldn't drop it because Santa wouldn't have it.
And that was that. It was a wrap from that point on. And then Santa was ruined for me. He couldn't get out of that one. Yeah. But, I mean, on a serious note, though, I mean, even as adults, you know, we don't have our own kids and stuff to live that through. But, I mean, to me, I love the holidays. I love seeing my family, hanging out with my family, all the traditions we have, and being able to do all those together. So it really sucked, honestly, having to work, obviously, on a holiday. No one wants to do that. So that's kind of my point. I'm definitely putting my foot down this year that I will do everything in my power to not be working on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I've never been that crazy busy that I've needed to. So luckily, that shouldn't be an issue at all. But we'll see. I also September. It's September, man. October, November. That's when the gifts start coming in. So people got to start placing those orders now if they want if they want their stuff for Christmas. Because excluding the CNC, which you still have to run, is like you gotta be there to make the things and then to finish them and then to mail them or deliver them or whatever. So I don't think people, when they order it, they think it's like Amazon and it's just like ready and 2 days later it's there. And
dude,
that's just not the case.
I had a guy and this, but I've been on the ball lately with shipping templates. Like, I've been fulfilling all orders within no more than 3 days. I usually cut them all to order. But I've had, there's a handful of templates that sell really commonly that I usually keep stock on. And those have been really popular recently. So I've been able to just throw them in an envelope, pass them out. No big deal. But a dude placed an order on Friday night. I was out of town already. And emails me on Sunday saying that he hasn't received his order yet. And I just had to be like, sir, are you okay? Like, do you know how the world works? Or first off, if you ordered from a normal company, that's not Amazon, they wouldn't even receive your order at 6 p.m. on a Friday night until they came in on Monday morning.
It doesn't get processed maybe on Saturday if you're lucky. Yeah,
right. I just was like beyond baffled. So like, some people really are just stuck in the world of Amazon Prime. If they don't get it in 1 or 2 days, then they're not interested.
Which is sad because it really does. I mean, as someone that uses Amazon a lot, it's sad that people, like, that's just what they've come to expect. And if they don't get that, then they go somewhere else like Amazon to get it.
Right. That was just my a very interesting thing that happened to me recently. And that's about all I'll say about that. But yep, I'm excited for the holiday rush. I'm excited to work on some smaller things. A lot of stuff I've been working on recently has been pretty big. I do have a handful of larger items coming up throughout the year. That'll be pretty cool. But honestly, I really, really enjoy making charcuterie boards and stuff. Some people find those like tacky and not interested in them, but I really enjoy making them. And I'm really good at it, which is the most important thing, you know?
You're really good at it and you're really humble about it. I'm the best that there ever was. That's why I hate charcuterie boards, because I love making them and they're not always an easy sell.
Well, yeah, see, we're in a different boat. You make them. You make them to prospectively sell them. I know I have them sold.
Yeah. Well, and I love using the templates. Use coupon code doggy when you check out at westfallwoodco.com. That's DOGGY doggy. So I love using the different templates and just making them and seeing kind of how they turn out. But yeah, if you don't have a client specified for it already, or, you know, put a deposit down or whatever, it's just kind of a shot in the dark.
Right.
Throwing spaghetti at the ceiling and seeing what sticks.
Dude, you need to do what I've been talking about trying to corner the real estate market, you know, try to get some realtors in your area to be some consistent customers for you.
Yeah, I mean, my realtor is really good, and I've been trying to link up with her to get her engraved board. And man, we just haven't been syncing up. trying to track her down. But we'll see. I could use those redwood boards. Sell those. Drop those. I already got 30 of them. Yeah, like 12 of them, actually.
What I've been doing recently is, like, I mean, you have the grand array of templates, obviously. I think you have, I mean, probably all of my most common boards at this point. But that's good because I kind of, like, used you as a guinea pig to test a lot of those, you know, to see if they were, you know, usable size and so on and so forth. But, I mean, I would love to, or not what I would love to, but I do typically always pitch a client on, like, three or four different shapes and only give them those options. I hate giving them the option. You know what I mean? Like, I want to give them an option, but a small field to select from. I don't want to, like, send them my whole website and be like, hey, I have 200 different shaped boards. Which ones would you like?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
wanna say, like, hey, what about these three?
And that's kind of the idea behind, like, I have four of your templates that I use a lot, that I use just the most. Mm-hmm. And I always bring those to the craft shows in, like, the swooped handle I really like. And then there's, like, the similar to the swoop handle, but it has, like, the little triangular top. I think that was a more recent one. It's like the hatchet or looking kind of one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really like those. So I have those in, like, cherry and maple and walnut, or cherry and walnut. But it's like I have a few of those that I always bring, because if you walk up to a fair booth and there's 100 different unique shapes, it's overwhelming. But if you have three shapes and you have three, you know, colors, for a lack of a better term, three different species, that's easy. Then it makes it way easier on the consumer.
Totally.
But so that's kind of where I'm going.
You're absolutely right.
Pick a few and give them those three options in the same way that you pitch three or four options to your customer, and just roll from there.
Yeah, I like that. That's probably a fair fair thing to say. Oh, I see over there, every time you scratch your face, your little blue hand you got going on there. What's that all about?
What's that all about? I painted the Rockler dust collector tube. Y PVC splitter pipe? Yeah. Had it on the sawhorses, propped up real nice, and I moved it and it started to fall, so I caught it, got all over my hands. So yeah, I just painted that. Got to do one more video clip for the floor
Rockler
sweep
dust collector.
Yeah, I gotta do one more video, one more clip for that. Most of it's edited already in LumaFusion. I just got to upload the last few clips. Nice. I'll probably do an outro, and then I need to take a picture for, like, the thumbnail. So, but that's it. And then I have to do the voiceover, which is not going to be fun.
Are you going to use this mic here?
Yeah, I'll use this mic. I'm going to go into my little walk-in closet and hang like a blanket, so the sound is nice and clear. Go from there.
Smart. Cool. Oh, speaking of YouTube videos, I saw today, actually, I believe Zach Hess posted his long time in the works YouTube video. You check that out yet?
I haven't watched it yet, but I plan to.
I watched about 10 minutes of it this morning when I was waking up. And I'm going to go back and watch it once I finish, or once I start eating my lunch.
How long was
it? But it's about a 20-minute video. It was really, really good the first 10 minutes that I watched. I'm really excited to see what he puts out, to be honest. I know it's been a long-awaited. He's been working on this for a really long time, so it's going to be really sick to see what else he comes up with.
Yeah, definitely. That's exciting. Yeah, so, I got to get on that.
So as you know, we had Zach, or otherwise known as Double K products. You can go check him out on YouTube, The Double K Way. He just dropped a solid YouTube video on the making of a very expensive live edge desk. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you've heard us talk about him a lot. He's a good buddy of ours. And we'd love to go give him some love. So you heard it here first. Go check it out, please.
Nice.
And me personally, I'm gassed. Doggy, I think it's time we wrap this sucker up.
Let's get
back on the men's.
Let's do it. Get some vitamin
Thanks
C.
Thanks for listening. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope you don't mind nasally voices. We are sick, so please send your loving condolences and prayers to us because we need them to make it through this hardship we are experiencing. But seriously, that's all. Doggy, you got anything else you need to say?
No, that's it. I think it's time we...
Peace.
Peace.